As I get set up here, if you could please open your Bibles to our memory verse for tonight, which is James 1:4. As a pastor said, for those of you that do not know me, my name is Ross Johnson. I am privileged to be in the rotation of speakers along with other fellow GIVE graduates, and consider it, again, a privilege to be up here to study the Word of God and lead in this study. And I've been very, very encouraged by this personal study of our memory verse. And I hope to convey that encouragement to you tonight and to communicate with you what I've learned and what's been shown to me through this verse. So again, tonight we're going to be looking at James 1:4. James 1:4. States, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." That is the New King James Version. And tonight, as you take a quick look at this verse, you can see that it's only one sentence long. So it's not very long. But we're going to take a really close look and draw out a lot of information out of this. Tonight we're going to define some of the words that we find in here, in this verse, and we're going to take a look at some of the grammar in the Greek and just to show what this verse is telling us. I'd like to go over the context of this verse by backing up to verse 1, and that James, this book is written by the Apostle James, which was the leader of the Jerusalem church, a half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he's written to Jewish believers that were scattered because of the persecution of the early Christian church in Jerusalem. So please follow along as I read. "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." First off here, I want to notice the word brethren. This word is another word and is interchangeable with the word believers. James is writing this verse, specifically this verse tonight, and this book to saved Jews. At some point in time, these individuals came to believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah sent from God to the nation of Israel. He was rejected by the nation of Israel, and he was crucified. In doing this, Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament scripture as the Lamb of God and shed his own blood to pay for the sins, not only for the nation of Israel, but for all the nations of the world. Romans 1:16 says, for this the Apostle Paul, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day because he got the job done. God the Father, with his justice satisfied, is able to offer to each and every one of us eternal life. This eternal life that is offered by God is accepted by putting, by faith, by putting 100% of your trust in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Ephesians 2:8-9 states, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." This message of grace provided in love through the accomplished work on the cross was put forth by the apostle Jesus Christ after his death and resurrection. The apostles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, preached this gospel to all who would listen in Jerusalem and in the nation of Israel, to the dismay of all the established religious leaders. They were told to quit preaching the gospel, and they didn't. The established leaders called on the civil leaders, the Romans and King Herod, and they started to persecute the Christians. Because of this, these Jewish believers left their hometown and their home nation and scattered throughout the Middle East. James, as the leader of the Jerusalem church, is writing this letter of encouragement to these believers. Last month, Mike Adams covered verses 2 and 3, and tonight we're going to continue the same thought in verse 4. We learn from Mike that the word translated patience in verse 3 is the Greek word hypomone, and it means endurance as to all things and our circumstances. James continues on in verse 4 here and informs us of the personal benefits of patience and how to get a hold of these benefits. He also gives us the reasons we are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing the trials produce patience and endurance. So as we look closely at this verse, I want to define the words that we find in this verse. It can be somewhat confusing, especially when you see the same word twice, relatively close to each other. So let's define some words. Under the first part of this sentence, let patience have its perfect work. Again, as a review, patience means endurance as to all things or circumstances, or it can be mean steadfastness. I like Mike, why Mike said it's the word, you break it down, it's to abide under, to under abide. So there's a pressure, abiding under pressure. It's associated with hope, and it refers to the qualities of a person who does not surrender to difficult circumstances or fall apart in trials. The next word I'm going to call our attention to is the word perfect. We see this word twice in this sentence, and in both cases, this word perfect is an adjective that is modifying a noun, and it's the same exact word in the Greek. The word perfect is the Greek word teleion, and it has a wider range of meanings. It can mean brought to its end or finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. It can also mean perfect. It can mean human integrity and virtue. It can mean full-grown, adult, of full age, or mature. So that, as you can see, this is kind of a wide array of meanings for this one word. And I was thinking about this, and I, to be honest with you, I was kind of frustrated. Could we not come up with a different word? Why such a wide range? But we do the same thing in English. When I say the word trunk, what does that mean? Trunk of a car, trunk of a tree, communications trunk. And I thought about this, I could say a statement like, because the tree trunk fell across the road, I reached into the trunk of my car to get a hatchet so I could get down the road. Now, I use the word trunk twice in two different, it means two totally different things, but it makes perfect sense to us, does it not? So as you can see, there's a wide range, and we're going to see both definitions here tonight. This first word, perfect, means brought to an end or finished. Another Bible dictionary says it this way. Perfect is pertaining to that which is fully accomplished or finished. To see this, how this is used in exactly the same way, if you want to take a quick turn, since we're really close, turn to Hebrews 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13:20. I'm sorry, verse 21. Well, I'll start in verse 20. Now may God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. This is the same Greek word. In the Authorized Version, just focusing on verse 21, it says, make you perfect. Again, same word, two different, perfect and complete, interchangeable. The word work is pretty self-explanatory. It is the result of one's work. So it's like a body of work or the result of one's labor or work. Other translations of this first part of this sentence is in the English Standard Version. It says, and let steadfastness have its full effect. The New American Standard 95 says, let endurance have its perfect result. And then yet another translation, be sure that patience completes its work. So those are the words defined in the first part of the sentence. Now as we look at the second part of the sentence, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. The word that there is a hina clause, and it indicates the purpose or a reason. It can be translated so that or in order that. So in order that, you may be perfect. Again, our word perfect here is the same Greek word. Instead of reading all through all those, but I'll tell you right now that this version, or the second perfect, means mature. This time the word perfect means a full-grown of adult or of full-age mature. We see this in, same thing, in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man. And that's the New King James Version. The ESV translates it this way. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Mature manhood. The next word I'd like to define is the word complete. This is the Greek word holiokaleros, and it means entire or complete. This denotes a completeness in extent or compass. This means it's a term of quantity rather than quality. The way I see this is, as we define this word, is you have everything you need. Every single item that you need. As I thought about this, I used to play hockey, and if I look in my bag to go play hockey, I would want everything that I needed to play hockey. I'd want a stick, I would want gloves on, helmet, I want the pads. Now, the quality of my 15-year-old skates might be wanting, but I'd have my skates. So what I'm trying to get at is this word, to me, indicates you have everything that you need. It's more about you're not lacking the items that you need. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you. The last word to look at here is the word lacking. Now in your handout I have lacking nothing. But I want to focus on the word lacking, and the word lacking means to be in need of, to fall short. And the word nothing means not anything, or it just means nothing. So put those two together, and we are to be in need of, we are not lacking in anything. Another translation of this entire verse. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. James is telling the believers that are scattered throughout the region, and by extension you and me today, that the benefits, the personal benefits of patience having its work is maturity, being whole and not needing anything. He also tells us in this one sentence verse the process to obtain these benefits. So let's take a look at that. As we look at the first part of this verse, the process of attaining benefits comes from the present active imperative verb let or have or let have. We are commanded here, being an imperative, or instructed to continually let patience have its perfect work. Now, and so as we continue, and for the process of the second part of the sentence, is the verb here is may be, and it's a present subjunctive. The subjunctive indicates that we may or may not be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. So why does James use these words, specifically the imperative and the subjunctive? The simple fact is that a trial, which each and every one of us has, does not automatically equate to the personal benefits mentioned in verse 4. If this was the case, the older a person is, the more mature they're going to be. I have a really very good friend of mine I've known since grade school, and I was born 2 days before he was. So the running joke and to this day is I'm 48 hours more mature than he is. And he laughs hysterically. None of us have to think long and hard about someone who does not act their age. No pointing fingers at your spouses. The farthest I have to look for an immature 40-something is the mirror. It happens every morning. The fact is again, James says, let patience have its perfect work, with the result that you may be or may not be perfect or complete, lacking nothing. There are many examples of both of believers true believers in Christ, both in the Bible and in our lives, that have experienced many and various trials, and the personal benefits stated here are not true of them. While we're close, please turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Please follow along as I read Hebrews 3, 7 through 12. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear, you will hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of disbelief in departing from the living God. This is the Lord's description of the Exodus generation that was led by Moses out of Egypt. Every single one of these people suffered many trials and testings of their faith, but as a whole, they never let patience have its complete work. As a group of people, they were not known as mature, complete, or not lacking in anything. There are two notable exceptions to this, and both of these men experienced the same things as the rest of the children of Israel. But when push came to shove, they trusted the Lord and had faith in what the Lord said and promised, and that the Lord had promised what He delivered. I'm speaking of Joshua and Caleb, the two out of the 12 spies that were mentioned in the Bible that were sent into the land. And in the end, they were mature, they were complete, and as the children of Israel looking towards the promised land, they ended up living out their days in the promised land. So they were lacking nothing. They both experienced the fulfillment of the promised land from the Lord. So how can we personally benefit from a trial that we are going through right now, or the trial that will come? Because they will come. We know from the Bible, as a believer in Christ, nothing happens to us that has not been cleared by God first, and that His goal and plan for us is to make us more and more Christ-like the longer we are saved. We also know that when we experience a trial, God will not test us beyond what we are able. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hebrews 4:15 states, we have a sympathetic high priest in the heavens. He knows what we are going through because He went through it Himself. We have direct access to the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and grace in time of our need. We know from James 1:2 that trials produces patience. Therefore, we can rejoice in them when we're in the trial. And tonight, we learn from James 1:4 that the personal benefit of patience, when it's had its complete work, is maturity, completeness, and not being deficient in anything. We know these things, but yet we are still commanded and instructed by James to let patience have its complete work in you and me. As a way of a challenge, are we going to trust God and what He says about our trials? Do we recognize the end game or the end goal for you and me? Can we have the mindset that will allow the patience that trials produces to complete its work so you and I can obtain the benefits mentioned here? The personal benefits of patience can be ours, maturity, completeness, and not lacking anything when we let patience and endurance complete or do its job, complete its work. When we trust what we know to be true about what God says about our trials, we are able to endure, abide under these trials. And these trials produces patience. And as we abide under and not freak out and not try to squirm and trust what God says about what's going on in our lives through these trials and what he's trying to accomplish, patience will do its work, and you will gain, or you will benefit by becoming mature, complete, and not lacking in anything. So that is our verse, James 1:4. But let patience have its complete, perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's all I got.